to the book of Daniel this evening. And I think that this is a very precious study because I think we'll learn things here that should be good for all of us in the days to come. Nice to see Kenny Elliott there this evening, the Presbyterian, the Free, oh boy, if I go on like that I'll be in trouble, the Free Presbyterian minister from Portadown. It's nice of you to come, and I thank you for coming. You see, Daniel is known as the prisoner who became the president of one of the greatest Gentile world empires that ever existed. He became the president of the Babylonish Gentile world empire. It's believed by all the scholars that he was taken prisoner when he was a boy at 16 years of age and taken down to Babylon, and we'll prove tonight that he was there for at least 70 years, and he must have been somewhere about 86 years of age when he went to his reward. He's a great character. God took him into the school as a boy. Because we are not trying to expound the book of Daniel this evening. We want to see Daniel in God's school, and we are trying to trace the techniques that God used as he brought him from class to class, and eventually he graduated as a mighty man of God. He was the president under five different kings, and that says a lot for his character. And yet, you know, there is more open venom, diabolical criticism poured on Daniel's name than I think on any other name apart from Christ. I don't know why, but the personality of Daniel and the prophecy of Daniel, the book of Daniel, the writings of Daniel, the sayings of Daniel, all they're just held up to ridicule all the time. And I can't understand this. It may well be that he lived such a life and brought such glory to God that the old devil is still after him. I can remember going to Queens many years ago. Actually, it was during the war. Mind you, that's Hitler's war, 1944, I think it was. And I went to prove at Queen's University that Hitler could not win this war. And that was taking something upon my shoulders, being just a young fella. And I remember the place was crowded, and professors were there by the scores, and I think maybe there were 800 people there altogether. And I took this book of Daniel very carefully and proved, as I could do now, that the communists could never be a world empire. They will never rule the world. Nor Germany could never rule the world, and so on. And I think I'm remembering right when I say I preached for about an hour and 10 minutes. And when I was coming out, an old professor, gown round his shoulders and a beard on, and there's nothing wrong with a beard because our Lord had a beard. They plucked the hairs from his cheeks, so we mustn't criticize like that. But he came out beside me. He said, you know, that was a masterly bit of work. I noticed you had no notes. I said, the only notes that any use to me are pound notes, sir. He said, I want to just say that I don't believe a word of it.
Well, I said, you're entitled to do that, you know.
He said, you know, there's no such person as Daniel. And I don't know whether this attack was planned or not, but there were a crowd gathered round. I think they must have known he was going to tackle me. Remember, I was a young fellow way back there. This is a very old-fashioned, well-learned professor. He said, we can prove there was no such person as Daniel. So the battle was in array now. And I said, Professor, you answer me a few questions, please. You believe there was such a person as the Lord Jesus Christ? He says, of course I believe that Jesus Christ was real. I says, now tell me this. Do you believe he was God's son? He said, certainly I believe he was God's son. I said, now tell me this without blinking. Do you believe that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge were hidden in him? That's what Paul pens under inspiration. That in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Tell me if you believe that. Takes a moment now. He's being examined very carefully. If the war's going to start, we might as well have a note. Because it's so easy to shout, but when you're getting asked questions, it's not just as handy. And I think that's what Queen's counsellors are all about in the court, asking questions. And so he needs to stand up and answer now. It says, I believe that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge were in him. Thank you. I'm not sure whether this is a kind question or not. Would you like to state this? Do you think that then he knew more than you know now? He said, yes, I do. Well, I said, that's enough for me. Because I'll tell you what he said about Daniel. Now, you young fellows, look at this. This is Matthew 24. Because you'll find these old critics running about one of these days. And you'll have to stand on your own 2 feet. But if you're only an ordinary 5'8 like me, and you stand on your own 2 feet with a book in your hand, I can tell you that our Lord Jesus beat the devil with the book. If you can find it is written. And if you can beat the devil, you can beat all the wee fellows that ever supported him, even if they are professors. I said, Professor, I want you to see this. The Lord Jesus is talking in Matthew 24, and he said in verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Our Lord Jesus Christ, whom you have confessed, knew more than you. He said there was a Daniel. You don't bother about it, Professor. He actually said Daniel the prophet. Ah, yes, I think we've got to get the hold of this. But our Lord Jesus Christ is not only putting his authentic mark upon the person of Daniel and the prophetic office that he had, but on the writing of Daniel. Let's get that bit quite clear. Because when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and away back there, you know, he has written this, and we'll come across it, all right? You see, we're just going back to the Lord now, if you look at your notes. And you'll find the authenticity. It's stamped by our Lord's own stamp. There was such a person. And he was Daniel. And he was Daniel the prophet. And he penned a book. And our Lord Jesus is quoting from it. And we go back there just to get this authenticity right. Because I find out as I go about the country that here and there and yonder, in almost every quarter, you'll find somebody getting up with diabolical venom against Daniel for some reason. And we'll need to be prepared for that. And that's all we need with that this evening. Now, let's go back to Daniel chapter 1 again. Want to see the birth and then the boyhood, just to get this before we get him into the school at all. Now, let's read from the beginning just to get the proper connection. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem. Came the whole way from Babylon and besieged Jerusalem. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Here the Lord was angry with his people. And the Lord was going to chasten them, so he gave them into the hand of this king of Babylon with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he, the king of Babylon, carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king, that is Nebuchadnezzar, speak unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes. And I want you to get the hold of that, because the king is given very definite commandments here to this Ashpenaz. And he's letting him know exactly what he requires them to do when they come to take the prisoners. Now, when the word children of Israel is used here, it actually means children, the king's seed and of the princes. Want you to get the hold of that. Now, if you go down to verse 6, we'll come back to 4 and 5 in a moment. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel. Want you to see that he belonged to the royal line, that's all. I don't know exactly where he was placed in the royal line. Our own Prince Charles is next to the throne. And Enoch Powell is sounding out loud and clear. I don't know where Daniel was, but he was belonging to the king's seed, all right, and he was one of the princes. Now, these are the boys that Ashpenaz was asked to apprehend and bring down. Now, I think you can see the nobility that's attached to him without me going into it any further, can't you? He belonged to the royal line. He was of the king's seed. He was one of the young princes. So he was taken immediately. Now the Babylonians were no softies. Because not only did they want the nobility, those who were in the royal line, but look at verse 4. Children in whom was no blemish. They stripped off these lads and had a good look at them, you know. Weren't taken down cripples or anything like that. And their bodies had to be sound, well favored, strong lads, had to pass a test. Just like you would go to join the British Army, they'll strip you off and they'll examine every part of you. These boys were examined. This is just to see that they're okay. Taking them down there. They have to be noble, be of the royal line and so on, but their bodies must be right. It goes a bit further than that. Put them through tests. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom. Let's put the all in, please. Sort of young fellows who could take their place almost in mastermind. Oh, yeah, the Babylonians were no softies. They weren't just filling a caravan with boys, you know. Oh, not at all. I want you to get the hold of this. Because it's all put in here for our learning. And it goes a bit further than that. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science. Did you get the whole of that? Because I wouldn't have made the grade. No. Fourth standard of the elementary school wouldn't have taken you in. These boys had a course in science. See the Babylonians. I'll tell you, the Russians are imitating them. They would take you and they would indoctrinate you. But you would have to be something special before they started. Otherwise they'd put you to the back of Siberia. I think you can get the hold of this. I mustn't waste time. Get this, the fourth verse. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans, they were come to indoctrinate them all right. That's where all this thing came from. Babylonians started that. So Daniel was picked up, taken down. I think that will do us for his boyhood and his birth, won't it? And you can go back to the Lord and you'll find authenticity stamped upon the whole story. And you can go back to his birth and you'll find nobility stamped upon it. And you can go back to his boyhood and you'll find ability stamped upon it. I think that's good enough. Now, I don't want to waste much time with the next bit, because God's going to put him into the school now. And it's a very wonderful thing to be put into God's school. God was making him a prophet. And if we were to take the prophecies of Daniel this evening, I'll tell you, we've got quite a lot before us. You see, I've done this book phrase for phrase several times. And you know that in this second chapter, don't you know that? This second chapter, he got this image right. The head of gold and the arms and breast of silver and the belly and thighs of brass and the legs of iron and the feet and toes. And you know, he got a picture then of the times of the Gentiles. And we're away down now at the 10 toes, and they're fiddling about with it yet. And it's nearly there. And one of these days the Lord will come and smash it for them, won't he? But I think you can see this quite clearly. And I don't think we should waste time there. Chaucer is now upon the throne. And you remember how he was going to insult God that evening. And then the fingers came writing on the wall. And all the astrologers and the magicians and the wise men of Babylon, and they were no softies, remember. They couldn't read the writing. Only Daniel could read the writing. And then when you go to chapter 7, you'll find that he had this great vision of these four beasts. And we don't need to go into that. And if you go to chapter 8, you can find the ram and the he-goat. And oh, the whole book is made up of the prophecies of Daniel. And I think we have that quite clearly. That's established. So if you go back to the Lord, you'll get this mark of authenticity. It's all right for me. If the Lord Jesus said there was a Daniel, that's good enough for me. I follow him anyway, not an old professor who doesn't know. No. You go back to the breast, you'll see the nobility that was there. And you'll see the ability that was in the boy. And I think you can see the prophecy. Now, God has taken this lad, he's taken him away from home, away from his mother and father, and he is a prisoner, you know. Clever little fellow, but he's a prisoner. And yet, we want to go back to the first chapter again. You see, I have to fiddle back and forwards because we have him in the school. And we find that Daniel was taken prisoner, and the scholars believe that he must have been about 16 years of age. And it says, verse 8, but, that's the but that comes into this chapter, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. And I think you can see the determination that's in this lad's heart. Absolutely, wholly determined. He's not going to do this. And this was a very dangerous thing, wasn't it? He's a prisoner. And this is the food that he's supposed to take, and he refuses to do so. Just the lad, you know. Because I think, you know, we need to look after the lads. See the lads and lasses we have in this class. They don't know that I love them the way I do. I shout and yell and do many things. But you mean more to me than I can ever tell you. And if I could be something in the hands of God to make you something in the school of God, then I would die peacefully. And one or two of you I'm very proud of. Hear you preaching at the table. It just does me good, that's all. Because I believe, you see, if the boy or the girl determines in the heart, oh, what men they'll turn out to be. And if they never determine when they're boys, they'll never be men. They'll be boys all their life. You have to stand up and be counted at times, even when you're a boy. And you mustn't be afraid, you know. You mustn't be a fool either. Because watch this very carefully. Verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. That's very carefully done, wasn't it? Just went along and had to talk with this fellow that was over them. Verse 10 says, and the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, prove thy servants. Fancy the wee fellow talking to the boss like this. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days.
Let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days, and at the end of 10 days their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of the meat. Be careful, little fellow. You can see the wisdom and the cunningness. We were talking about being cunning in knowledge, and it's there all right. But I want you to get the holy determination that was there. You'll find that he was determined the whole way through. Now, if we go from there over to... Let's go over to chapter 6 for a moment, because I want to join this together. Now, watch again, because this is very careful. This is very worthwhile watching. It's another king. This is Darius, you see. Because that's why I told you that he was under 5 different kings while he was here. Now, verse 1 says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. He was doing mighty fine, wasn't he? You see how he has graduated, don't you? Now, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. Because you see, if the Lord is going to bless you, and you're going to be exalted, and mind you, it's only the Lord that can exalt you, you always find that there will be people who will hate you, and will hate you without a cause, and who will be jealous of you, and envious, and do things against you, and you must be prepared for all that. Don't think that you can be blessed of God without having all this happen to you. It happened to your Lord, you know. I hated him without a cause. And here they're seeking something against Daniel. Now this is the bit. Verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion or fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. I want you to get the hold of this. Can you see this? No fault. His home life. My, you could go in and inspect his whole home life. Can't get any charge there. See the business life. And he is the first president of the kingdom, you know. And you would know by looking at Jimmy Carter's face tonight on the screen that running a kingdom is not an easy thing. Oh, the smile is nearly gone now. Why don't we learn? Yes. What I'm trying to stress is this. That God put this boy into the school. Of course he made him a prophet. Oh, but he taught him purity of life. Want you to get that. When you go back to the life, you will find purity. He wasn't going to do anything that would defile him. He wasn't stooping to mean things. Oh, what a lesson for us to learn. This is a great class he's in just now, and he's doing pretty well in it too. I want you to get the hold of this. Let's go back to chapter 6, I think. Let's stay in chapter 6 then. Now, these fellows, listen to them talking in verse 5. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." We're pretty sure about that, these boys. No use for you going round to the house. He doesn't do anything wrong round there. No use for you looking through the books of the kingdom. He's not doing anything wrong there. The only way you'll find occasion against him is in the law of his God. This man really does what God wants him to do. We'll have to try to find out some way of getting him to break the law, but he'll not break it, and we'll catch him on. Listen to this. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors," that was not true, you know, because Daniel wasn't there, not all the presidents, "and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, I want you to get the whole of this, because this is a very wonderful thing to me. They came to the conclusion, the only way we can catch this fella out is in his prayer life. This fella prays, you know. And if we can get a decree signed that people are not to pray for so many days, this fella won't obey it. Now, if people were trying to catch us on, do you think they would ever go to our prayer life? For some of you, you don't have a prayer life. I get saints who come to talk to me and tell me this, that we tumble in the bed and out of bed for years without bowing the knee, and they're going to heaven, so to say. There's all Baptists here now. You won't muzzle me. And I'm here 26 years and you've never been at the prayer meeting yet. And I don't know whether you're going to heaven or not. Don't you try to bluff me. Oh, my friends, this prayer life, isn't it? When do you pray? How often do you pray? How many times today did you pray? I'll tell you, they knew about Daniel, because he hadn't only a spotless public life and a spotless private life, he had a spotless prayer life. He prayed more than he did anything else. Yes, don't you see this? You know, I want you to get the hold of this. See verse 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," he knew it was signed and it couldn't be broken, it was the law of the Medes and Persians, "he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem." You see, each day he did this. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. This is the way he'd always done, 3 times a day. He'd always gone to that house, although he was the president, and he'd opened the windows towards Jerusalem. Isn't a superstition sort of thing, you know. He's praying to the God of Israel. And he's letting all in Babylon know who he prays to. He's not fiddling about with their gods.
Everybody knew that Daniel prayed to the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and the windows were open. 3 times every day. And these fellows knew what to do. This is the only way to catch this fellow on. Let's get it signed that he can't do it. Oh, you know, this is the same as Peter, wasn't it, when they said, "You can't go preaching anymore," he said. We ought to obey God rather than them. Yes. I want you to get this. Can't you see the sincerity that's here? And I like this bit. He kneeled upon his knees. Tell me, you're down on your knees. Oh, I know you can pray standing up. Heard all about that. Yes. You can pray in all shapes and places. Our Lord prayed lying on the cross. Father, forgive them. They were nailing them to the cross at the time. They know not what they do. Yes. And Nehemiah is talking to the king, and he puts a little prayer in between the sentences. Yeah, you can pray like that and know about that. Yeah. I'll tell you this. When you mean business, you get down on your knees. Do you get down on your knees? I want to know if you get down on your knees. I got down on my knees at that seat the night before there was anybody in this place. Oh, yes. And I like this bit, you know. It says, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. And look at this bit. And gave thanks before his God. See, some of the young fellows here come to me and say, look, Mr. Moon, when I get down at my bedside, bless them for getting down. I don't know what to say. I can't go on with it. Oh, I know that. I came through that. I was in that class once upon a time. Try thanking God a wee bit, you see. Just get down your knees and shut your eyes and thank God that he saved you. Thank God, thank you for saving me. Thank God for his love. You love me. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his son. Thank God for his son's life. Thank God for his son's death. Thank God for his book. Thank God for his promises. Thank God for his people. Yes. I'll tell you, you can go on all night. You know, bother. We didn't thank the Lord. That's your trouble. You just got down on your knees and thanked the Lord a bit. You could. You wouldn't go to sleep so quick. What I want to establish is the sincerity. Don't you see the sincerity that's here? You see, if you go back to the Lord, you get the authenticity stamped upon it. And if you go back to his birth, you'll get the nobility. And if you go back to his boyhood, you'll see the ability. And if you go back to the book and go through all the chapters, you'll find the prophecy. If you go back to his life, you'll find the purity. If you go back to this house, you will find the sincerity. And if you go back to the den, he was dropped into the den of lions in this very chapter, you will find that he didn't just give in. It says here, verse 13, then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel which is of the children of the captivity of Judah regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but makest this petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, see this phrase here, was so displeased with himself. Many times have you had that? So displeased with himself. I think the day that Peter went out crying, the Lord turned and looked at him when he was cursing. He just went out. I'm sure he was sore displeased with himself. I think when Thomas saw the hands and the side, his sore displeased, he'd wandered about and argued all week. Oh yes, that happens too, as you know. I want you to get the hold of this. It says, verse 14, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. It was too late, he had signed it. He labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, cast him into the den of lions. You see, I don't know whether we get this right or not. I think the den of lions was underneath the palace altogether. Not a cage as we see it sometimes. But there's a great big concrete block they lift up and they just drop you in. Put it down. You're in the dark and you're in the lion's den, dropped in. It says here that the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. That's what I'm trying to outline for you. And the king sealed it with his own signet. Then the king went to the palace and passed the night fasting. Then the king arose very early in the morning, went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, thy God whom thou servest continually, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths. You know, you don't hear a murmur out of Daniel. He knew the way he was being treated. But you know, he was faithful to God and prepared to be faithful unto death. Matter about men or lions or liars. I want you to get that. See the fidelity to say. Now, let's go to chapter 10, because we mustn't miss that no matter what we do. Because this is the top class here. And you'll see it's another king. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. That was the Babylonish name they gave him. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and they understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. Daniel speaking here. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I want you to get that now. 21 days. Now, if I've got this right, supposing I just ask you to go back to chapter 9. See verse 2. In the first year of his reign, this is Darius, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Now he knew by the books of Jeremiah that the 70 years were nearly up. So that if we're right in saying he came when he was 16, he must be 86 now. Now let's get that established. He's an old man. And he's at least 86 when we get to chapter 10. I want you to get the hold of this, all you older folk, please. Because he's mourning 3 full weeks, 21 days. I want you to get the hold of that. I want you to watch what went on those 21 days. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. He's not only praying, he's fasting. Neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hedico, and I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the gold of Ephah. I want you to get the hold of this person in your mind. Clothed in linen, loins girded with fine gold. His body also was like the beryl. His face has the appearance of lightning. His eyes as lamps of fire. His arms and his feet like in color to polished brass. And the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And if I were to ask you who it is, you might think it was the Lord Jesus, but it's not. And I see 100 commentators making the blunder. Oh no, it's not the Lord at all. I'll prove to you it's not the Lord. Just keep the person in vision. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me unto corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. When I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, this person we were looking at a moment ago said to Daniel, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. And that's not said about many in this book. And I have a feeling the devil didn't like it at all. And I think that Daniel gets the blunt of it yet. A man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. You see, Daniel started praying at the beginning of the 21 days. And his words were heard all right. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. I don't know any prince of the kingdom of Persia that could withstand the Lord Jesus for 21 days. Don't you try to tell me that. Oh no. Oh, that won't work, you see. You see, you jump to conclusions sometimes. You need to read on. Now, we're to tell you this. This person that we saw, he had been held up for 21 days. This prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. You don't tell me that the Lord Jesus needed Michael to help him. Please don't tell me that. You'll only annoy me. Tripe. Don't we get tripe in books? Oh no, it wasn't the Lord Jesus. It was a shining angel, a servant from the throne. God called him up there and said, look, you see the old man praying down under. Well, go and tell him this is the answer. And he's on his way. Ah, but he's held up. Now this prince of the kingdom of Persia is not a human being, you know. You don't tell me that human beings hold up shining angels, do you? Because it works the other way round too. Ah, you see, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. See the word principalities, it's the old word for demon princes. You see, there are demon princes. You know, in every kingdom, there are demon princes set over it by Satan. And you know, there must be a terrible demon prince over this province of ours. Very wicked one, too. Yes. And you see, when Daniel prayed, God answered immediately, sent this shining angel. Oh, but this demon prince held him up, you know. And it took Michael, and he was the archangel. He's called a prince too. Because this is something that's going on in the heavens that you don't know about when you're a wee fella down here. These demon princes with a... he's in the school, he's learning! Gonna graduate now! In the top class! Some of you have never been there, you don't know! Pity of you! Oh, yes, there are demon princes. They bother me all the time. Come and cramp in your mind. Send a thousand things shooting through your thoughts until you have to pray as well as preach all the time. Want you to get the hold of this? See this. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. Oh, he was on his knees. Oh, the thing that I want you to get the hold of is this. Old folks, old age pensioners. Oh, I believe they can do a mighty job for God. I'm sure, you know, that God has left us here to do a job. You know, it's this praying business. It's not so easy, you know. Oh, the devil would make you tired. I'll tell you this, when you shut the door and you get alone and you pray to your Father which is in secret. You see, we have time to do this now. See all the old age pensioners. Time. I went to America once to preach, and oh, they had a great choir. I don't want to say anything about it. But give me just as many old age pensioners to spend the day in prayer, and I'll go on with the job.
Amen.
I really believe us old folks, and I'm one of you now, I believe we're losing us. We only sit around grousing when we should be on our knees and no surrender. The devil will attack you. Pray through 21 days you never did it in your life. 21 days, we don't know a thing about it. I believe if all the old saints in Ulster got down on their knees and began to pray it out, we'd hunt all the rebels that ever was. And I have a feeling it's the only way it'll be won. Devil will not let us do it, you know. Do you see this, don't you? God put him into the school of purity was a class, and sincerity and fidelity, and then takes him into the mystery of overcoming prayer, and he has graduated now. I think this is great, you know. I believe that God wants all us old folks to just pray and pray and pray.